Well, we're going to continue our series this morning on being like Jesus. And that's our goal in life, is to be like Jesus. As long as we're here on this earth, we strive to be more like Jesus. And so for some of us, that takes all of our life. And that's okay. I'm still working on it. I want to be better today than I was yesterday. And I want to be better tomorrow than I was today. And that's my goal in life. And praise God for His mercy and His grace. And He forgives us of our sins if we're repentant. Right? Amen? That's good stuff, isn't it? So in the Gospel of Mark, we're going to continue through the Gospel of Mark. And last week we talked about if we're going to be like Jesus, we needed to be filled with the Spirit. And Jesus was led by the Spirit, and that example is that we need to be led by the Spirit. And so if we're to be like Jesus, we must be led by the Spirit. And so today, as we continue on, we're going to find out a little bit more. So after Jesus comes out of the wilderness, after He was tempted by Satan, and there's a whole big story about that too. Okay, Mark doesn't go into detail about that, but he was out in the wilderness. He was tempted by Satan, and he was there. He fasted for 40 days. Man, how many's went without food for 40 days here? That's a long time to go without food, isn't it? Now, Jesus had a little help. It said that the angels were with him, and so were all the wild animals. So I wonder how tempting that was, you know. Some, you know, but. Anyway, so he comes out, and after John is here in verse 14 of Mark, chapter 1, verse 14, and after John was put in prison, and Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, the time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news. Amen?
Amen.
That's good, right? And as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishing, or fishermen. And he said, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." So today we're going to talk about being sent. And Jesus will send you out. But the first thing it says in here, it talks about the time has come. Okay? And that time is still, it's for us today. This message is not only for them 2,000 years ago. This message is for us today. And I will say this, the time has come, church. Today is the day. The time has come for us to get on our knees. The kingdom of God is near. I believe that, don't you? Just as I prayed, I believe that I look for the church to be called out of this world. I see things coming together. And now I don't know when that's going to be. I mean, people have been preaching about that for 1,000 years, right? But they always live their life with that in mind, that today could be the day. Because why? Because the time has come. And I love this message. Is the time has come for the church to be the church. The time has come for the church to be like Jesus. And we need to be that. Amen?
Amen?
We need to be like Jesus. And so he's saying, repent. Get rid of all that junk in your life that you need to get rid of. Amen?
Amen.
You're not going to be fruitful. You're not going to be successful as a Christian. You're going to live in misery. I'm telling you, get rid of that junk in your life. Repent. And believe in the good news. Believe in Jesus. Amen? I kind of wonder sometimes if we got Christians out here, churchgoers, that claim Christianity in this world we live in today, that really don't believe in Jesus. They really don't believe in the power of Jesus. They don't believe that Jesus can transform a life into what they was, into what they can be, and that's to be like Jesus. Come on now. I witness these things. Get your eyes open. Don't be deceived by what we see. I mean, of course, I'm not watching the Olympics. We kind of had this conversation before church. If you was paying attention to what happened at the opening show of the Olympics, you'll see what's coming. I mean, it's, I'm telling you, the time has come for the church to be the church. The time has come. And Jesus said, if you're going to be the church, I'm going to send you. Come follow me. Follow me, and I will send you. You know, where's he going to send you? I don't know. We just got to be willing to follow him, right? Some of us are sent here to Ann, Illinois. Right here. Bunch of us right here. We come here today. He sent us to Ann, Illinois to follow him, to be like him, and to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what he says. Believe in the good news. I believe it, don't you? Jesus died for my sins. He gave his life for me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the good news. Amen?
Amen.
That's good news. That's the best news. Yeah, that's good. So I want to talk about this morning. Come follow me and I will send you out. Let's look at Mark chapter 6, verse 6 and 13. It's just a couple pages over. Jesus went around. This is when he sent out the 12. He said, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. And the reason he was amazed at their lack of faith is he just came from his hometown, or he's at his hometown, and people just didn't accept him in his hometown. He was not able to do very many miracles in his hometown. He only could do a few. And then he was just amazed at the lack of their faith. They just didn't believe in him. They just didn't really trust him. And I kind of understand. I got to be honest with you. I kind of understand what he's saying. I'm a hometown boy here. And I kind of get that sometimes. I'm just being honest with you this morning. And there's a lot of people I talk to that just don't believe that I could be a pastor. I'm telling you the truth. They just don't believe that Randy could ever be a pastor. I know Randy. Right? It's not that I was a bad guy. I mean, Dale and I went to school together, and I'm sure there's a few stories that he won't tell, and I'm glad. No. Yeah. Dale's like, put me on the spot. Now your mom's going to ask me. No, but Dale knows. I wasn't a bad kid in school. I didn't get in any trouble. I didn't run off, you know, and do all kinds of wild and crazy, well, not too many wild and crazy things. But, you know, but there's those in this community that just won't accept that to a point. And that's what I'm saying. Well, Jesus dealt with the same thing. Well, isn't this Jesus? Joseph's son? Isn't he the carpenter's son? Or surely not. He can't be, you know. Amen. He's just an everyday, ordinary guy. There's no way. Anyway, so Jesus, he's got these 12 guys, you know, he's kind of been choosing them. And he says, then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out. So that's what I want to say right there. Let's see, I lost my place. He began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over every impure spirit. These were his instructions. Now listen, when God sends you, He'll give you everything you need to accomplish the task He's sending you to do.
Amen.
He'll give you everything that you need. And sometimes I think we want more than what He's willing to give. But I think sometimes we think we need this or need that. And He's like, no, all you need is what I'll give you. You need to trust me, in other words. And I mean, this was probably a big step for them because He says this, these are your instructions. Take nothing for the journey except the staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belt. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Now, how many of us would go on a big, long journey with no money, no food, would just go with nothing except the clothes on your back and a staff? Huh? Huh?
No trip on the bike, man.
No, a trip on the bike. Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, I mean, you know, so he said, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place. Shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And so they went out. And they preached that people should repent. And they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Now I love this because this is something we should be doing. He's sending us out, right? And you know, I know there's some people I've talked to over and over and over and over and over again. In this scripture, I'm always reminded of this, and sometimes I think it's time you just shake the dust off your sandals and move on. And that's hard. But if they're not willing to listen, then move on. Move on. And but I think it'd be hard for us to listen to Jesus' instructions, isn't it? You know, we like to anoint people. We bring people forward and we anoint them with oil. We pray for the sick. And you know, but he says we have the power. He says they had the power to drive out many demons. Now, I believe that there's demons. Do you? Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes I think we overlook thinking about that. But there's some demonic people in this world. And you know, we have to understand that, you know, just we have the power over them. You know, if evil comes up in your face, if Satan starts tempting you about things, guess what? You have the power over that. Because Jesus gives you the strength to overcome that. And, you know, so when you're sent, Jesus gives you the strength to do that. Now, you know, let's look at John. He said, come follow me and I'll send you out to fish for people. Now, I know I've heard Brother Keeley talk about fishing a lot. Me and him, we like to fish, you know. But we're not, we got to quit doing the things that we did for the world and we got to start focusing on the things that Jesus has asked us to do. And sometimes we get so caught up in the things that in life that we don't have time to do the things for the church or have to do things for the world or for the church. Because we're so tied down to the world. And Jesus said, you know, sometimes we think, well, we got to eat, right? I got to feed my family. I got to have a house to live in. And Jesus says, don't worry about that stuff. I'll provide what you need if you just trust me. If you just trust me, I'll provide what you need. Maybe not all your wants, but I'll give you what you need. I'll give you everything that you need. John chapter 20, when we go, nope, 20 and 21 here, he says this, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, but right before that, he said, Jesus came and stood among them and he said, peace be with you. Before that, there he says, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then he goes on to say, and after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Can we go in peace? Can we go like that? You know, Jesus gives us the strength to do that, but he also says, guess what? The Father sent me and I'm sending you. That's something, right? You hear me this morning? I'm kind of being simple this morning, aren't I? But I want us to get it because I mean, we've got to be the church. We've got to be like Jesus. And if we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to do what Jesus did. And if we're going to do what Jesus did, he listened to the Father. He said, the Father sent me, so now I'm going to send you. So if we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to be sent, right? Well, you guys are quiet on me now. You're waiting for me to say something spectacular, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't have it. Sometimes I just like, Lord, you got to help me because these are not my words. They have to be your words, and I can't rely on my own understanding. I have to rely on his. And there's sometimes I get up in the morning, I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to preach. I've worked on this all week, and it just doesn't seem right. He said, well, don't worry about what to say. He said, I'll give you the words to say. You just go and say what I tell you to say and let me do the work. The Holy Spirit does the work. That was good, wasn't it? Amen. He said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Then... Then he breathed on them. And then they received the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love that. I love that part. I love that part. We're going to look back at another character in the Scripture that was Paul. You know, Paul, if you look back at Paul, Paul was zealous to stop the Christian movement. And then on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus. You know, and then things kind of changed for him when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he was struck blind, and then he goes to Ananias' house, and, you know, Ananias lays hands on him, you know, and his eyes are opened. And then... You know, and then he gets the message, you know, that he's going to be sent. Bless you, by the way. You know, Paul took that seriously, didn't he? He was another sent person. And in Romans chapter 10, if we look at Romans chapter 10, I think about this. On the road to Damascus, it all changed for Paul. He had a new mission. He had a new vision. And I know in my life, I received a new mission and a new vision. Things changed for me in my life when I received the call. Bless you too, Teddy. Right? How many has had their mission changed in life? Because Jesus came into your life. He gives you a new vision. He gives you a new perspective on life. And Paul was zealous, and he was, you know, he was there and held the cloaks of those who stoned Stephen, and no telling how many other things that he did, and he was guilty of murder, really. He was. And yet, here's God calling Paul. And he said, Paul, the time has come. Just like he's telling us there, Mark says, the time has come. Repent and follow me, and I will send you out. That's what Paul heard. Paul said, okay. Isn't that funny? Here's Paul that was so zealous for killing Christians and capturing and putting them in prison. And all of a sudden he meets Jesus, and all of a sudden Jesus says, hey, repent. I'm Jesus, the one you persecute. And he says, Jesus is like, the time has come. Paul, I need you. Paul's like, okay, I'll go. Wow. I mean, that's a crazy story to think that. And many of the disciples, just like the ones, he's walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he meets these two guys, and he says, hey, come follow me. And they didn't debate about it. The Scripture doesn't say that. They didn't argue with each other. They didn't go ask their wives, which probably was a good idea. They just said, they laid down their nets and followed him. Like, okay, I mean, I think they heard it in their heart. It's like, okay, the time has come. I need to repent and follow me. I'm going to follow him, but I don't know where we're going. I don't know where we're going, but I'm going. So we know, you know, when Paul was at the Ananias' house, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. So I want to read that here in Romans. I got to find it here. Romans chapter 10. And I'm going to read this 1 through 17. I'm going to read a little bit here because I want you to listen to the full message. Because here's our purpose, is what I'm saying. He's sending us out to do something. Okay? What's he sending you to do? He says, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire. I love that. My heart's desire in prayer to God is for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own. They didn't submit to God's righteousness. Christ is a culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word near you, it's in your mouth and in your heart. That's the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. The Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew or Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who calls on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
How then? Get to the point here. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? Hear me. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? I want to go back here at the beginning. Paul says, my heart's desire. What was Paul's heart's desire before? It was to stop the Christian movement, wasn't it? And Paul says, oh, things have changed now. I met Jesus. I'm following Jesus. I repented and I'm following Jesus now. And now he sent me to preach the good news. And he says, now my heart's desire. And I wonder how many of us here this morning that our heart's desire is for the lost people in this community. Because that's what Jesus has sent us to do. He has sent us to proclaim the good news of the gospel to the lost. To be his hands and feet. Amen?
Amen.
He said, I know they're zealous. He was talking about the Israelites. He was one of them. He was the most zealous. And he even talks about that. He said, there was no one any more zealous than me. I was the most zealous there could be. But he said this message is, we have to share this message. And when you look at this, he says, how can they hear? How can they know? How can people believe if they've never heard? And again, that's what Jesus has sent us to do. To proclaim the good news of the gospel to everyone that we meet. He says there, and I love that verse where he says, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. Amen? If you've received Christ into your life, His word is in your heart. It's right there on your lips concerned to proclaim it. How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them? He says these words. I think about this, you know. Paul was sent to preach to the Israelites, but you know, we're not preaching to the Israelites, are we? We're preaching to our neighbor. Amen. So what's in your heart this morning? What's in your heart this morning? I guess we need to go back to the beginning. The time has come. We have lived long enough. We've lived long enough in this world. And the time has come. We need to follow Him. And we need to go where Jesus sends us. We need to preach the good news of the saving power of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's as simple as it is right there. It's a simple message. I look around and see all the things going on in the world today. And I love what our general superintendent just said at this last convention. She said, you know, we're not left or we're not right. We're just straight ahead to Jesus. And I thought that was such a great statement. Because we can get so caught up in politics. We can get so caught up in all these things going on around us in this world that we forget about what we were sent to do. Those who believe in Jesus, we were sent. He says, my Father sent me, and so I'm sending you to preach the good news. The good news. I mean, that's exciting, right? I mean, how many of us can say that we watched good news on TV? Not lately. It's been a long time since I've watched good news on TV. Because it's all negative and it's all, I mean, it just makes you aggravated. You want to throw your TV out in the yard. It really does. And that's not the good news he's talking about. And I know sometimes we just get miserable. I mean, I do. I mean, there's times where I'm just like moping around because they're, you know, I'm just, you know, woe is me. Like I said before, I'm like Eeyore off of Winnie the Pooh. Yeah?
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, good. But it's going to be okay if we just trust Jesus, amen? If we just trust Him. And I hope we can come together in unity and pray today. I really feel like, you know, our new five core principles the Nazarene Church has adopted. The first one of the five core principles is fervent prayer. And I mentioned that last week, but I think we need to be a people who are willing to get on our knees and pray. And not just pray, but pray fervently. Not just say a little bedtime prayer, but just really mean it from our heart. So let's pray this morning. And I'd ask you, just really, if there's somebody on your mind right now, just pray for that person right now. Pray for them. I mean, ask the Lord of the harvest to help you with the power of the Holy Spirit to say something. Stand in the gap for somebody. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much, Lord. Lord, I know I just preached what you asked me to this morning, Lord, and I don't know. I just said what you asked me to say. And so, Lord, let not your word fall on deaf ears. I pray that your Holy Spirit just takes these words and encourages somebody to think in their heart that the time is now. I've wasted all my life, but now is the time that I need to listen. Step up, follow you, and go wherever you send me. Lord, I pray that you put people in our path. Lord, that we might be able to share the good news. Share you with them. Lord, I pray this. I pray this for this church. I pray this for those who are gathered here today, Lord. And those that couldn't be here. Lord, help us. I pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. The name above all names. Amen.